My name is Rennie Austin. I currently live just east of Kansas City. My wife and I have been associated with the Navigators since 1972. That's 44 years. Now, it's an interesting position is associated with. Happened in the early 70s in Atlanta, experimental within the Navigators. We were recruited by somebody who part of their training was to recruit people. So they recruited my wife and I. We caught the vision. Now, at the end of this particular program, they said, okay, at this point, you've got to make a decision. Which way do you feel like God's leading you? Does he feel like God's leading you to go on staff or just be a layman and carry the vision of discipleship with you? So we talked about it. We prayed about it, came back and said, what we want to do is be non-staff because I would really like to have a life that shows people you don't have to be a pastor, you don't have to be associate pastor, you don't have to be on staff, and you can still walk with God. When I do quiet times in the morning, and I do my Bible reading at night, and I do my scripture memory, and still work 60 hours a week, most of you guys know what that feels like. It's different. So the only reason I put that much information in there, I had a lot of responsible jobs. I was a DER for 15 years before I retired last month. Designated Engineering Representative for the FAA. My authorization was several of the systems on large aircraft, water systems, air distribution, etc. I walked into my first engineering department at Pratt & Whitney in January 62. Okay, now, this workshop will cover perspectives on biblical illustrations, preparations, instructions, and personal tips, and it will help you develop a concerns list. I want to stop for just a second and show you a little bit that's in your handout. Go to your handout in the back. I have attached a draft of a concerns list. This is what your homework is going to be. We'll start it in here, and then you'll get to finish it as you get ready to do what you're going to talk about. I'll break you up into small groups, and you can discuss what you want and pick an aspect of a concerns list and write some things in there. So a concerns list is something that Lauren Sanney did not mention. This came about later in one of the versions of the Colossians 2:7 study, and we learned to use it to great effect. Okay, perspective on why we spend a day of prayer, or a half day, if you want to look at it that way. And remember, when you first start off, you know, don't look down there and say, you know, I'm going to put in a gazillion hours. No, you're going to meet with the Lord. And God may be very gracious and be right there, and you're ready to go right away. And there are other times where you are going to have to wait on the Lord. And if you're like I am, I'm a very impatient person, and I find that hard. So I've got some tricks that have helped me immensely. Okay. The first reason you want to do this is to enhance that personal relationship with the living God. Psalms 27:8. When you say, seek my face, my heart said to you, seek thy face, O Lord, I shall seek. And that's Psalms 27:8. And then again, it shows up in 2 Chronicles 7:14, which I'm sure some of you pray for our nation. And my people who are called by my name humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven, will forgive their sins, and will heal their land. Here's something that I've got to really identify. I can't afford to compete with some of the other workshops on prayer, but there's a few pointers that you need to get so that you can understand where I'm coming from and where I'm going with this workshop. This is a quote from Doug Sherman. It really revolutionized my picture of prayer. He was at that time the pastor of the Journey Church in Little Rock. He says, the people of God are divided into two camps, those who seek the hand of God to bless their lives and give them the life they want, or number two, those who seek the face of God, and the blessing they seek is to be able to do what God wants. Now, you're going to have to evaluate in your own heart and life, am I coming to God saying, you know, here's my list. I want you to fulfill these things because I want you to help me do what I want to do. That is a bad perspective. It isn't that God doesn't answer that sometimes, but it is not the perspective that we want to have when we come before the living God. We want to seek His face and say, Lord, what do you want me to do? We're playing to the audience of one. Doesn't matter what our wife says. It doesn't matter what our friends say. Doesn't matter what the pastor says. Doesn't matter what I say or anybody in here. What is the Lord saying to you? Are you listening to Him? And are you obeying Him? Now, for those who are keeping score, we're down to 3.2. To review the state of your flock, this is a reason you do this. Proverbs 27:23. Know well the condition of your flock and pray for those in your herds. Now, this is very significant. If you have a family, and it doesn't take long before that family gets to be pretty good size, you should be praying for those people in your family. Some of you are the age where you are betweeners. Your parents are still alive. Your kids are growing up and they're starting to have children. And so you're between people who are older, people who are much younger, and yet you have spiritual responsibilities. So for those people, you start listing them down and start praying for those people. Lord, what do you want me to do? How do you want me to handle this? These people are doing this or they're doing that. I don't think that's right. Is that right? How would you want me to do this? So it becomes an opportunity for you to look at that. The next one is for yourself. This is very important. Don't forget to pray for yourself. And God has given us this very interesting verse. Psalm 139:23-24. Search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxious thoughts. And see if there be any hurtful way in me. Lead me in the everlasting way. How many of you have ever prayed that prayer? Okay, I have. I've done it many times, not realizing what I was asking. Okay, back up. It says, try me and know my anxious thoughts. You just ask God to bring trials into your life. When trials come along, do not be surprised. God is answering prayer. When the person in front of you does not go when the light turns green, God is answering prayer. Now, I have trouble remembering that, but I mean, this is true. This happens. When you hit your thumb with the hammer, you have asked God to show you what's in your heart. If you are paying attention, you will hear from your mouth what is truly in your heart. There's a neat verse in Jeremiah 17:9-10. 9, we all are familiar with. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? But you need to read 10. 10 says, I, the Lord, search the heart, and I try the reins to give every man according to his ways and according to his doings. Okay? If any of you have ever ridden horses, and you get the rental horse close to the barn, and you're headed towards the barn, the horse is headed towards the barn, and he is perfectly content that he is doing your will. And you yank on those reins, and you want to go back and make another lap, that's when the horse finds out what he wanted to do and what the rider wanted to do, two different things. And I have found in my life, when I pray this verse, and I am looking at my life and my heart, and God yanks on those reins, and I say, ooh, man, I didn't want to go that way. That was what was in my heart. But I didn't see it. God saw it. And I asked Him to show it to me. Right there in that verse, I asked Him. There's another one. Any of you ever been laid up, sick or injured and couldn't do anything for a while? There's a neat verse in Psalm 39. I forgot the exact verse. Of course, it's written by David. David was a shepherd. He was very familiar with the shepherd's ways. And in the days in which he was a shepherd, they used to bring the sheep in, and they would the shepherds would bring them through a long, narrow chute that had railings on it and stuff so that the sheep had to go in one at a time. Well, the shepherd had a tendency to put it in front and stop one sheep, put his rod behind, and the sheep couldn't get out. He couldn't go over the top, he couldn't back up, and he couldn't go forward. And then the shepherd would take his hands and start going over the sheep, all over. And it was very important because the shepherd was looking to see if there was briars, burrs, parasites, disease, injuries, anything that he needed to address on that sheep. Now, the sheep, of course, just disliked this immensely, especially the, being hemmed in. So, next time you're sick and can't go anywhere and can't do anything, don't complain, because God is probably doing that. Use the time. Use it well, because God has orchestrated that for that purpose. It's a great opportunity to grow. 3.3, intercession for others. This is a great verse to pray for. As a matter of fact, I pray for this for my grandkids and others as well. Colossians 1, 9 through 12. For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you, to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of His will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so that you will walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please Him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all power according to His, that's capital H, glorious might, for the attaining of steadfastness, patience, joyously, give thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints of light. Good verse to be praying for anybody. Also, I'm going to stick in Ephesians 6:18. With all prayer and petition, pray at all times in the Spirit with this in view. Be on the alert with all perseverance and petition for all the saints. And we're going to get over here to this exercise that I've got, and you're going to list a lot of those people, because there are people that God's going to bring into your life that He's going to want you to minister to. It may be just a word of encouragement. It may be more. It may be people that you're going to spend decades with. You just don't know. So you list them, and you pray for them. And you're praying these verses. You want to be praying verses. You want to be claiming the promises of God. Because God's said, you know, He's gonna stand good for them. Okay, 6:18 is a good verse, but you've got to remember, this is a unique verse. Comes at the end of the armor of God in Ephesians 6. Now, we forget that that's where it goes. It goes in the armor. Because when Paul got to it, he looked at it and he scratched his head and he looked at the Roman soldiers. He looked at their armor and he knew how they fought. He said, man, Rome doesn't have anything anywhere close to this, but I want to put it in because it's part of the armor. The armor is prayer. Now, we have ICBMs, we have intercontinental ballistic missiles, we have airplanes that can fly for 36 hours at a time and stuff. So we can visualize armament that looks like prayer. But in the days of Rome, they didn't. But it is still given to us as part of the armor. So we need to be using that, not only for our defense, but also for the defense of others. Number 3.4, to know the ways of God, not just acts. Now, this is new, so I probably got this out of order. I'm going to start with the Psalms 103:7. It was noted in Psalm 103:7 that Moses, he made known his ways to Moses, his acts to the sons of Israel. So what I'm trying to teach here is that we might go before God to know his ways. Interestingly enough, if you go back up to Exodus 33:13, Moses asked this very thing of God. He said, now therefore I pray to you, if I have found favor in your sight, let me know your ways that I may know you. God answered that prayer because we see it here in the Psalms later on, centuries later. God answered that prayer. So as we go before God, we are going before a great God. And he has given these great and wonderful promises, and we need to be, you know, glomming onto those things. And sometimes we don't have because we just don't ask. 3.5, what the Lord wants to do, what he wants you to do, is what you want to zero in on. We play to the audience of one. I spent many years in industry, and I've worked in many different companies, and I've worked all around the United States. And I'm sure that I'm probably the only person here who has been in a situation where you have more than one boss and have different agendas. There's a frustration that goes with that. This is the verse that simplifies life for us. We are zeroing in on what the Lord wants us to do. We are playing for Him and Him alone. If we do what He wants us to do, the rest of this is going to fall into place. Matthew 6:33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things shall be added unto you. Galatians 1:10, for am I now seeking the favor of men or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still trying to please men, I would not be a bondservant of Christ. Now, under this same section, there is a number of places I'm going to let you guys look up in Nehemiah. This is an exercise in prayer so that you get a picture in your mind of the difference between an arrow prayer and an extended time of prayer. Because what we remember is we remember over here in Nehemiah 2:8, in the last part, it says, the king granted them to me because the good hand of the Lord was with me. And early on, he gives his petition to the Lord. The king says, what do you want? And he has instantly this whole list, timetables, everything. Do you think he figured that out in those last 2 or 3 seconds before the king of Persia? No. If you go back up and you start in Nehemiah 1, when I heard, I sat down and wept and mourned for days, and I was fasting and praying before the Lord of heaven. We don't even know how long he spent. But he spent an extended amount of time before God, bringing these great petitions. And God gave him a plan. And all of a sudden, there was an opportunity to present this plan to the king. So he fires off a quick arrow prayer. And what does he do? He tells the king what God told him to do. That's the way we need to approach life. We need to have these extended times where we are getting on our heart what God wants us to have on our heart, where we need to go, what we need to be doing, and how we need to be doing it. And then wait for God to give us an opportunity. I was reading an article not long ago, and they said, you know, sometimes we don't miss opportunities because we're not paying attention. We're just not equipped for them. Because we forget to ask God. We forget to write these things down. Look at those Nehemiah verses. Those are really great. Okay, this is a workshop. So this is how to. Preparations. We talked about concerns list earlier, and I want to go a little bit more into that in a few minutes. But one of the things that I have learned the hard way, so you guys can avoid this pitfall, do your concerns list before you spend time in prayer. Because if you don't, you want to be focused on your prayer time. You don't want to be focused on writing all this other stuff down. So if you do it beforehand, you will really enhance your time with the Lord. Jeremiah 29. Most of you know 29:11. I'm going to start at 12 and 13. Then you will call upon me and come and pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. That's what you're trying to do. You want to be in a mindset to be seeking God with all your heart. Depending on where you choose to pray. Now, my wife loves to go to a library. I don't like to go to a library, but I can't go to a park. I get to watching the ants and the birds, and, you know, I'm off in left field pretty quick. So I like to do mine in a room that I have control over and I'm not being distracted by. You want to choose a place to pray, pack a lunch or a snack, if that's appropriate, and it needs to be a quiet place away from distractions. Don't go to the park near an interstate or an airport or where the playground is and the kids are out making noise and stuff. The competition gets really stiff. So, minimum of distractions or interruptions. I highly recommend that you do not take your target acquisition aid. They will hound you. Satan will make sure of it. Okay, you do take a Bible. You take a notebook, which I, in my haste, have left mine. I have a notebook. It's about yay thick. It's a 2.5 inch thick, three ring binder that I keep all my half days and days of prayer and notations from God in there. And I go back and read that from time to time. I'm usually disappointed in how many things he gave me to do that I didn't do. But other than that, it is very encouraging. There are some things that I pray about and I see God's answers. And I put them in the border. Those are very encouraging. I highly recommend that you make yourself a notebook when you start this. And make it a different color so you can find it in a hurry. Because there will be times you'll think to yourself, you know, I prayed about that and God gave me something. What was it, you know? And so if you've got it sitting over there and you can just reach over and grab it up, flip it open, and say, oh, there it is. Yeah, I remember that. Makes a big difference. Makes a big difference. You want to pray based on God's word, standing on the promises of God, 2 Peter 1:4. For by these he has granted us his precious and magnificent promises, so that by them you may become partners of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world by lust. This little pamphlet that he put out became quite famous for a particular quote. He said, this is Lauren Sanney speaking. Once I remarked to Dawson Troutman, founder of the Navigators, you impress me as one who feels he is a man of destiny, one destined to be used of God. Dawson replied, I don't think that's the case. But I know this, God has given me some promises that I know he will fulfill. And then he follows that up and says, during the early days, Dawson spent countless hours of protracted time alone with God. And out of these times, the Navigator work grew. It wasn't by coming up with a process or a plan. He went to God and God gave him what he needed. There's nothing that says we can't do the same thing. I'm teaching a workshop. I'm no different than most of you guys out here. Some of you guys are on staff. Some of you guys here are pastors and teach. But a lot of you are just plain ordinary Christians just like me. But that does not negate us from doing the things that God has called us to do. Instructions and personal tips. You're going to divide your time in 2 to 4 parts. This is down at 3.3. You want to wait on the Lord. Now, this is very important. It took me a long time to get this one straightened out. I am a person who was working under a lot of pressure for most of my life. I worked 60 hours a week most of my life. My wife can probably count on 2 hands the days, Saturdays I had off in the last 50 years. Time was very much of my essence. So I had a bad tendency to have my Bible and my notebook and stuff and run up to the desk and drop it down and say, okay, God, I'm here. Tell me something. Sports fans, it don't work that way with God. It may work in a meeting, but it does not work with God. You have to sit down and you have to be there and wait on Him. Here's what I learned about waiting on God. It is a very important time. While you are waiting, you want to begin in your mind, turning over all the things to praise God and to thank Him for who He is and how glorious He is and how great He is. And that's what you spend your time on. And lo and behold, if 2 hours goes by and that's the end of it, you did the right thing. if you never got an answer. It's the right thing to do. Because God, that is what we do to God. His name. 1 Thessalonians 5:18. This is a significant verse. In everything. Now this is really the hard one. In everything, give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. When the toilet stops up just before the company comes, first thing you do is praise God. Why? Because He said to. Now, what will happen is as you begin to do this, God will begin to remind you of some good things He could do with this. You know, they'll have to use the other one. Well, that's the bathroom you just fixed up, and it looks much better anyhow. Great. You know, I never thought about that. You know, nobody's going to need to use it at all. Who knows? But we're going to praise God first. The car breaks. We praise God first. Something goes wrong. We praise God first. Matter of fact, I had to train myself, because I'm a negative person by nature, to praise God for the negative things first and then move to the positives. I don't have to do that as much now as I used to, but it is very, very significant. If you don't learn to do this, then you begin to visualize life as either a competition or a battle that you're losing. In His relationship to you, that everything that God is bringing into your life is for your benefit. It changes your entire perspective of how your life is going. That perspective is the thing that changes how the chemistry in your brain works and how you react. Okay, that's very significant. So when you wait on the Lord, now there's a whole ton of verses, and I picked a couple of them there, that Psalms 8, there's Psalms 104. There's a bunch. There's just tons and tons of verses that you can go to. He's the one who got me on to doing Psalm 103, and I just love Psalm 103, which I go over many, many times. Psalm 34, that's one I usually pray at night when I've got a night watch. Now, we're down to concerns prayer list. And this may include prayer for your others and yourself. Now, that's going to negate the last two here, which is prayer for others, prayer for yourself. So if you do what I have set aside as a brainstorming session, which is your concerns list, which you all should have in the back of your handout, what we're going to do is we're going to do a few minutes of brainstorming. I'm going to have you kind of get yourselves together and converse with people around you. Pick an area. There's a number of areas on this sheet. If you want to keep the sheet and use it as a guide, that's what it's for. You may want to turn it over right on the back so that you can make copies of this, or you may want to just plug it in and then type it out yourself so that you can read what you've got. That's what we want to do next. We're going to spend about 10 or 15 minutes, and I want you guys, in whatever group you're in, three or four of you at a time, to pick an aspect, either family or ministry or one of the other things. Projects is one of I find my projects list gets bigger and bigger each year. The ministry list usually runs off the page. I find, stick all kinds of people on there. You know, they're always encouraging you in the evangelism workshops. People that you've met that you think need to know Christ, put their names down. Pray for these folks. Pray for your bosses, especially the unreasonable ones. They need it. You need it. So why don't we take about 10 or 15 minutes, and when we get through, then I want to hear some of your feedback from this opportunity and any questions you might have. And just come up with some lists. Okay, let's go ahead and settle down. What we want to do is we want to open this up, and I'm going to let each of you speak if you want. I need to get a little feedback as to what you thought about this. If you'll notice, it says concerns list, because now in the Colossians 2:7, if you've been through it, they used to call them worry list. Well, that's displeasing to God for us to worry. So I had to change it to concerns. Because we should never worry, we are in the hands of God. I had to explain that real quick.
Let me know how you're getting along, because I want to visit with you privately. Sometimes us camouflagers worry, but we call it being prayerful.
Yes, that's right. But there's a great verse God gave me from Psalms 94:19. When my anxious thoughts multiply within me, thy consolations delight my soul. Those consolations are found in Psalm 103, verses 1 through 5. If you practice and memorize those verses, they will go a long way towards alleviating worries and making them just only concerns. So, okay. How many people pick family? Okay, let's hear some thoughts from people who pick family. What were some of the ones? Children?
Wife and I, better diet.
That's good. That's great. What are some other ones?
Salvation.
Salvation. Very good.
Well-being for my daughter. She just be present.
Oh, another very good one. See, that's what God wants us to bring to Him. What you got there?
The men of my family, you know, leadership.
Leadership. Excellent. Excellent.
Discipling my young sons.
It's a biggie. Lifelong project. Okay, what are some other ones?
Potential ministries. How do I use my time and my talents, money, books, things?
Oh, perfect.
Better what we're doing.
That's exactly right. See, those are the kind of questions we need to be asking God. We all come to God with these empty hands. I mean, everything we've got, He gave us. For some reason, all we got to do is just ask Him, okay, now how do you want me to use this? That's a perfect one. I love that. How about ministry people? Anybody write ministry people down? Okay?
I'm a pastor.
Okay. So you have a flock.
One of the things is, what do my people need?
Yes.
To hear from God, from God's Word? It's easy to pick a sermon and go through something, but what is it that they really need to hear?
Only God can tell you that.
I can tell me that.
That's very good. Under ministry people and potential people ministries, I want you guys to make a notation. I have outreaches where I put these people. I have the name of everybody in my neighborhood, and it goes under potential ministry. Should be under ministry people, but I haven't been out to canvas every single person as to where they are spiritually. So they're under potential. I used to put bosses underneath there. That was a great place for bosses. I found that it helped my bosses, it helped me more than them to pray for them. Okay, that's excellent. I love the way you did that, because only God knows what those people are going to need, and especially each week, it changes. Okay, how about careers? Anybody here got a career, or they just got a job? Okay, well, welcome to the world of busy.
My civil job.
I kind of had this vision many years ago about retirement was going to be all of this. You know, I'm trying to get around to doing all the fishing I wanted to and all of that stuff. And, you know, long quiet times and things. And let me tell you, it's different.
All the water dried up.
Oh, interesting.
That's by our lake out.
Yeah. Even after all that rain, that's interesting. Anybody have careers?
Well, yeah, I have a son who I got laid off. He's a dispatcher for Burlington Northern Railroad. So
okay.
He's looking at career choices, so I just talked and trained with him.
Yeah, see, and that's good. As a matter of fact, the reason I backed into doing this, you know, God has to deal with me with the 2x4s, because I'm not only slow, that's with lots of O's, but I'm also not very smart. So it takes God a while to get my attention. So much of this is based on the fact. Oh. I think that's one that's in there that I just as soon not notice. Good point. Good catch.
We call it creative thinking for my own purposes.
Well, that's more euphemistic than what we used to call it tenacity. Now we just call it audacity. But those are the things. And there were many job changes I had, and I had to sit down and pray. Well, what do you want me to do, God? Where do you want me to go? What should I do? When you first start off, you may not have very many skill sets. As you get older, you have a lot of skill sets. And God can use you in a lot of ways. And it doesn't mean that because a door opened, you have to walk through it. You say, God, do you want me to walk through that door? And that's what's very, very important. David is such a great illustration to us. David is being pursued, hunted mercilessly by Saul for insanity purposes. God gives Saul into David's hands. And David says, I will not raise my hand against God's anointed. The door opened. God opened that door for David. He would not walk through it because he knew he wasn't supposed to. So a little bit later, the test comes up again in the cave. Except he's got Abishai next to him. And Abishai is quite a warrior. He's one of the 30 mighty men. He's got his spear with him. And sure enough, this is when Saul is asleep in the camp, and they're in the middle of the camp. And if anybody wakes up, they're going to be dead. And so they're standing next to Saul, and David's the same thing. God's opened the door, and Abishai nudges David and says, look, he says, I got my spear. I can pin him to the ground right here. You don't have to lift a finger. Your blood won't be on him. I can take care of this right now. David says, I don't want you to do it. We are not going to raise our hand against God's anointed. Door opened. David said, I will not walk through it because you don't want me to. God closed the door. So from that illustration, be careful about praying for open doors. Satan can open doors just as well as God can. And sometimes those doors are opened to see where our hearts are. If you go back to Judges and Judges 2, God mentions in his word that he left some of the people in the land of Canaan to test the hearts of the people to see if they would follow him wholeheartedly or would they turn away. So be very careful. We are trying to serve the Lord. Okay, how about God's vision and direction for life? Now that's a heavy duty one. That's one I have to pray a lot about. Anybody take that one? I don't blame you. That is a tough one. Yes.
We talked about a little bit about
great
doing audits, if you will. I'm a process guy.
Yes.
I set up a process for my life, and I get the procedure down, and that's just the way I run forever. And sometimes God wants you to take a turn, and so I'm able to audit that and go, am I doing this because
yes,
just inner retention, the way I do things. Am I doing this because this is what God wants me to do? And so stepping back and going, okay, this is my norm. This
yeah.
is what you need for this.
Thank you. That's the whole core of this workshop. Is and it's very easy to get heads down and locked. Been there, done that a million times. I know just exactly what that feels like. Okay, how about health and wellness? Those are pretty easy.
For me, this... I've always struggled with prayer. Not that I don't talk. I talk to God all day long. I really do.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
But getting down into concentrating, I'm a task-oriented guy, and it just don't seem like prayer's task. I mean, it's like I'm not doing anything.
Mm-hmm.
I know I am, but it's just that, and this list, putting a list together goes, that's a task I can do.
And for guys, it works much better. See, I don't think I could do this with my wife or any of her friends because I don't think they need something like this. But I have to have a guide that gets me back on track. I'm looking at these things. And you fill this out beforehand. And I really recommend spending a week filling it out. And just ask God, what does he want me to be praying about? And it's amazing. Names will come up. Situations you've never thought about. You stick them on there.
Well, I thought I need to pray through this list.
Yes.
When you say spend a week doing it, is that so that you can fill in more and more and more, or is that because you may want to alter the way that you've done?
Well, that's one of the things that happens. The reason that I try to give a week to doing this is I'm trying to get out of this habit of running up there, dropping my books down and saying, God, I'm here, tell me what you want. And I'm really want to walk into this thing with the attitude of, here I am, Lord, I am going to wait on you, whatever it takes.
Depending on you.
Yes.
For some of us, like you're identifying, is exceedingly hard. Now. Somehow or other, that seems to get in the way.
Yes. Well, and see, that's one of the things that you got to push out. So I've got a whole bunch of these tricks that I use. I carry a notebook. I set that notebook beside me when I do my quiet time. There's a reason I do that. It's because things come to mind as I'm doing my quiet time. I cannot let them go. But if I write them down, I know I can come back to it. I don't have to keep that in my mind. I can go ahead and I can work on my quiet time. And so this becomes a similar project. Things that begin to, as your family gets larger, and I don't know if anybody in here is as old as I am, but you start looking at, children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren, and the spectrum begins to expand. I've got people in my neighborhood. I've got them all over. I've got people around me. I've got people I meet with. There's just a ton of things. Sometimes I forget I need to be praying about all of these things that are going on in my life and around my life. I'm praying about strange things, when I should change cars. I've got a car right now that I prayed 7 years for. When God answered that prayer, was one of those. Evidently, there was times that I had prayed about. We only had one car, and my wife had to drive me to work, bring the kids, take them to school, come back and get me in the afternoon, and it was a real nightmare. So evidently, I prayed about another car. So one day, I'm sitting there doing the books, and I'm looking down, and my name is on the title of 7 cars. I'm saying, God, are you sure? It may have been just humorous in God's opinion. But evidently, I had prayed for a lot of cars. Did I remember? No. Did God? Yeah. Same thing happened with computers. I can remember when we only had one computer. Actually, we didn't have any because we had to send the one off to get it fixed, and they said they couldn't fix it. So we were out of computer for a long time. So I asked for more computers. So I looked around the room one day and got 6 computers in there. Where did I get 6 computers? Because God remembered what I prayed, even though I didn't. So be careful. You want to be sure you're praying. Sometimes God is just generous. And He will give you things that you never thought you would ever get. Be encouraged when you fill these things out. Because you are going to the God who can. Now, I don't think I've got it on my list here, but in Jeremiah 32:17, God said, now, behold, I am the God. Let's say no.
Father God, behold, if you have made the heavens and the earth by your great power and by your outstretched arm, nothing is too difficult for you.
Last part of that, nothing is too difficult for me. Thank you. How about projects, personal items for yourself, for your spouse, for your children? What are some things, did anybody pick any of those areas? Or did you get that far into the list? Actually, you'll find those fill out pretty quickly when you get down to it. Events for the coming year. Handy things to know and tell. If you start by planning your vacation first, it goes a lot easier. So you plan your vacation first. Okay, now, thoughts, comments, questions.
Where does your wife fit into this?
Okay, that's very interesting. My wife and I were having a large discussion about this recently. We know some people who, in their ministry, their picture of the guy has his ministry. And his and her picture is she supports him in that ministry. We talked about that. And there's some difficulties in there. And the first difficulty that shows up is if after a point in time, the wife, everybody wants to be called a servant. Nobody wants to be treated like one. And so what happens is that sometimes wives get to a point and they feel as though their job is a servant. And the question you may want to ask yourself is, if I were to substitute for my wife a cook, house cleaner, nanny, and prostitute, would I be happy with that? If it is, you may have transgressed and are treating your wife not as a co-heir of salvation, but as a servant. That will breed resentment. And that, I can tell you, we have seen it happen later on in life. That's one of those wedges that will get a couple in trouble. Now, what you want to do is you want to get your scriptures out. You look at Acts, and there is a tremendous example. Aquila and Priscilla. Husband and wife coming out of Rome. They will run out of Rome. They go back to Greece. They run into Paul. They become Christians. Paul is very impressed with them. He's so impressed with them when he gets the call to Ephesus, he takes Priscilla and Aquila with him. He goes to Ephesus and starts a ministry. He leaves and leaves them in charge. So you have a husband and a wife who have a common vision. And this, when we counsel people who are getting ready to get married, one of the things that we are very adamant about, common vision. Now, I don't have a blackboard, so I can't do all of my illustrations, but we run into this very, very often. You have his vision, her vision. Not going to work. What they have to do is they have to develop a vision like that. It's going to have to be that they are both have the same vision. They are working side by side in the ministry. Now, her skill sets and your skill sets are different, and it works. And it looks very much like the other one that I told you about that has these pitfalls of looking like it's a servant. But there is a shift in who I am. When you have a common vision, you are both working towards the same thing. Let me give you an illustration. A standing rule I had for a number of years. Never, ever loan a tool to anybody, regardless of anything. Okay? My wife knows I was trying to share the gospel with this guy down the street in the apartments. I'm at work, of course, which I was at most of the time. He's got his car. It's in pieces all over the parking lot, and he needs a tool. So Pat says, aha, Rennie's been working on praying for this guy, and he wants to get further into the relationship. I am going to violate the first rule to go with the second rule. So she hands him a whole toolbox. I get home and she says, oh, I've done a terrible thing. I've given your tools to this guy down the street. No, no, you did exactly right. Well, how did she know that was right? Because I shared it. Think about Jesus and his disciples. Almost all the gospel writers talk about Jesus going out into the desert and he's tempted and all of these things. Who was there to watch that? Nobody. He had to tell those disciples that. So he was sharing his life. And guys, that's all we have to do. God is at work in us, and we are sharing what God's doing in our lives. That's all I'm doing today.
Your career wasn't real, engineering, probably not your wife's favorite subject to read on. So how did you keep your long hours from interfering with y'all's bonding? I mean, how did y'all find time to stay close?
Okay, that was it. That's the subject of another workshop. What we did is I went to God and I said, you know, God, this isn't working out. We're going to have to do something here. Well, you know, my doctor asked me one time, he says, if you never had to get up, how long would you sleep? And I says, I don't have any idea. I would probably sleep on all day. I could just sleep forever. I just love it. But God says, well, we have more important things for you to do. So I said, okay, God, we're going to have to cut this down. And for almost 30 years, God allowed me to get by on 4 hours of sleep. We'd go to bed somewhere between 11:30, 12:30, and get up at 4:30 in the morning, have a quiet time, and go to work for 12 hours. And that's how he did it. And we spent lots and lots of time talking. That communication is absolutely essential. Now, I have found that most women, most wives, are very interested in doing what the husband wants them to do. Most of the time, they forgot to tell him. Because I had been sharing my heart with my wife, who had a common vision for the neighborhood, just like I did, that I wanted to really get the gospel out to this guy. She knew we were going to supersede one of my quote-unquote laws for another one, which was more important, to get the gospel out. If it cost me all my tools, that was okay. She knew that because I had shared that. That's very important.
Did you get them back? Did you get them all back?
Yes, as a matter of fact, I did. I didn't think that I would. Now I got to give them all away. So, as I get smaller and smaller, my mother-in-law is my goal. She got to the point where her entire possessions would fit on the top of her dresser, and that's where we're all headed, folks. You know, you look out in your garage and it's hard to tell, but that's where we're headed. You know, 1 Timothy 6:6-8, righteousness with contentment is great gain, for we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain we shall take nothing out. And with raiment and food, let us therewith be content. And for an American, that's hard. Any questions?